Praise God. If we could return to our seats. It is such an honor to have Brother Morton Buster here at Calvary Gospel Church. And we are going to have him. He is going to come and he's going to preach to us this morning. And we sure love you, brother. Appreciate you. Just come preach to us, brother.
And praise the Lord, everybody. Would you mind standing just for a moment? It's great to be back at Calvary Gospel Church. 153 new members. Give the Lord a big hand clap for that. Real quickly, when I was driving on whatever road it was, Felon or whatever, to come onto the highway here, when I made the turn, the Lord said, I have set this church, Calvary Gospel Church, on a hill in Madison, Wisconsin, the capital of this region, to be a regional church, to be a stronghold for the name of Jesus, and to hold at bay the forces of evil, and goodness and righteousness is going to prevail, saith the Lord. Second Kings chapter 4. We will read verse 8, 9, and 10. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, 9, and 10. If you're a guest at Calvary Gospel Church, would you just slip your hand up for a moment so we can recognize you? We're going to give you a hand clap because you took the time to come and join us. Great to be here with Bishop Grant, his sweet wife. Great to be here with Pastor Roy Grant and his sweet family. To the leadership team, to all of you, you're doing a great job and the best is yet to come. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed the Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that oft as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and set for him there a bed, table, stool, and candlestick. And it will be that when he comes to us, he will turn in here. Turn in here, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. Move in a mighty way. And all of God's people said amen. Now, right before you're seated, would you just lay your Bible down and give him about a 30-second thunderous round of applause. Praise his name. Oh, that sounds good. The Lord reigns, omnipotent, almighty. I do not have to ask this group if they're going to preach with me. Mr. Sound Person, I like where you just said it. Keep it there because I know this crowd, they could get loud. And if they do, please don't turn them down. Amen. You may be seated. This woman is in a very unique class because it's the only place I find in Scripture where the term great woman is used. I don't see a place where great woman, plural, is used. She's very unique. And I know in North America what makes people great in some people's minds. It's their bank account, their status, and so forth and that. But what makes her great? Because I would like to be a great person, not so much in the aforementioned, but in Scripture. I believe she's great because God makes her great. I believe there are great people in here. Now, the people of Madison outside this church may never recognize you in a status of greatness, but God looks down and sees you as great because he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. See, John was born with the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. Amen? And so let's dig in just for a few moments and find out some things about this woman, this great woman. First of all, her husband is older. Now, when the servant told the prophet, there's no son in this house, no child, and the husband is old, there seems to be an implication there that maybe there was quite a gap in their ages, and perhaps he had gone beyond his productive years. We don't see a palatial house, and it was probably modest. We do know there were no bedrooms occupied with their sons and daughters. There was no nursery with a cradle or a crib. So in the natural, we find this woman, younger than her husband, living life with very limited potential. And the four walls of her home became the four walls of her world. And in those four walls, there were few resources and few things to aspire to greatness about. But even with all of that, she was still great. In your limited world with limited resources and potential, you can still be great. Don't let your limited resources limit you from greatness. Now, we do know that it was her desire to have a child because when the prophet gave her that word, according to the set time next year, there'll be a child in this house. This woman who held the man of God in such high respect and esteem said, don't lie to me. A person in my life that I hold in great esteem is Bishop T.F. Tenney. He's an apostle in my life. And if we're in town on the same week, we try to meet for lunch that week at least one day. And we did this past week. I cannot imagine him saying anything that would push a button, strike a nerve, and for me to come back with, don't lie to me. He'd look over the top rim of his eyeglasses and that would be all he would need to do. And I believe that this woman was very subdued and genteel and respectful. But don't you think we all have that thing, that button, that we might explode, not with a fit of anger, but passion? I don't believe that this is anger. I believe it's passion because it's not in the cards for her. It's not going to happen. Don't pick me up to drop me. I'm living all right the way things are. So here's the application here today. I wonder if there are people in this building who live in the four walls of their world with very limited resources and limited potential. And the circumstances and the situation dictates to you that this is as far as you're going to go. And this is what I hope you don't do. I hope that you don't think that in God's terminology, in the way God defines greatness, that you can ever achieve that because of your four walls and this little world that you live in. I hope that you don't get bitter and say life isn't fair. Why? I didn't put on a prenatal contract to be born in a world with such limited resources and potential. These walls scream out at me, finality. This is as far as it goes. This woman doesn't seem to have bought into the aforementioned. Yes, it's very limited, but it doesn't. There seems to be no bitterness in her at all. She doesn't look at the old guy and say, Mama told me not to marry you. What was I thinking? You cradle robber. Now I'm going to become your caregiver. If nature has its rightful course, it's just you and I, baby, and I got to take care of you, and I'm really not looking forward to that day. And when you finally breathe your last breath, it's just me all alone without any man in my world with strong shoulders and strong arms. There will be no carrying on, no future generations. Can you just imagine that? Can you just imagine how bleak the future looked for her? But still, But still, she was a great woman. You can be great in spite of what limited resources you have. The Bible says, whatsoever your hands find to do, do that with all your might. In spite of the limited resources, there's something you can do to give him praise. There's something you can do to help propagate the gospel, to lift up his name, to expand his kingdom. And this woman found the thing she could do. She said, I'll bake bread. If that's all you can do, get after it. Come on, mix it up. Start kneading the dough. Light up the oven. Get ready to do what you can do. But do not sit on your hands and say, it's useless. But be like her. Whatever you do, do not use it as a bargaining chip to get anything from God. Just do it as unto the Lord, as your form of ministry. There are Marys and there are Marthas. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'm telling somebody, you want to get up and get after it and do something for the glory of God. This congregation is coming alive, and we're going to get out of here in 15 minutes so we can have an altar call. And now, I don't think that the prophet was aware just how good that bread was, because she had to constrain him. Come on. Get in here. You don't have to constrain me to the table. I have to hit the gym. And I literally haven't been debating how many trips to Culver's I'm going to make my short visit. Honestly, I think I'm going to sneak one in after the service. And then tomorrow evening I might sneak one more trip in. But I know it's going to cost me. But when she constrained him and got him in the house and he tasted that bread, that was some good bread. She knocked it out of the park. You're good at something. God has gifted you. I don't ever read where she had to constrain him back into the house to eat that bread. Because as oft as he came by, what time is it? Bread time! Maybe her name was Panera. And then after several trips of him coming in and eating bread, this is what she said, which I believe it also helps to put her greatness in context and give us perspective, because she is sagacious. She has good discernment. She doesn't just make a hasty decision, because after several times she said, behold, now I perceive he's a man of God. She did not say that any other time, but after several trips, she said, now I perceive he's a holy man of God. Lay hand suddenly upon no man. Know them that labor among you. Try the spirit to see if there be. Just because a new show comes in town with so-and-so calling himself a prophet or a man of God or a woman of God, doesn't mean you have to say, lo, here is Christ, lo, there is Christ. Try the spirit. Before you give them a room in your house, set them at your table and see if they have character and integrity and accountability, or if they're just trying to fleece the next flock. That's some good preaching right there. I have people in my life that I know that they're men of God. I know that they're women of God, because I am very pragmatic. I myself possess a healthy amount of cynicism. And after she reached that conclusion, something happened in her that she said, now I perceive he's a holy man of God. We're going to kick it up a notch. And she was sitting there with that old geezer, that husband. You know, would you stop making that noise when you eat my bread? The prophet doesn't do that. The servant doesn't do that. You know, every little thing can bug you when you're living in a world with very limited resources. No. She said, husband, I'm not going to do this as a bargaining chip. I'm not going to do this and hoping that God's going to bless me. But there's a passion in me to go to a higher level of living and a higher level of giving. We ought not just plateau. Man, I've learned one thing. I've learned that if God can use me to bake bread, who knows what else I can do? Maybe I can be of greater service. Man, I'm going to have a preaching fit. I got to quit. But I don't want to be 50%, 75%. I don't want to be 99% because 99.5 won't do. It's all in. It's revival or bust. It's kingdom or bust. In 2015, fence sitters are going to have a hard job maintaining balance in this social climate. You're going to have to get off that fence. You're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to come out of the closet. You're going to have to take off your camo and say, it's me. You're going to have to do something with that candle. Young people, I'm on your side, but these middle-aged are, they're mopping the floor with you. You didn't spend it all at the gym, did you? You didn't spend it all, you know, on the little outing last night, did you? Come on, does Wisconsin have an NFL football team? What's the name of it? Boy, you're really subdued today. Do you like the Packers? But what do you think about Jesus? He's not just all right. And if I'm going to give bread, and if I'm going to go to the next level, if I'm going to give anything 100%, it's got to be of eternal value that possesses eternal consequences, because nothing in this world is worth everything. Man, if you want to stay on your feet, go ahead, because I got to wrap things up. Musicians, get ready. Because, listen, this woman sat in that little house surrounded by those four walls in her little world with limited potential and resources. And she said, husband, outside the walls of this little house, there's a big, big world. And outside of this, the walls of this world house, there's a God. There's a God over this big, big world. And I'm tired of being limited. So I think what we need to do is, I think that we ought to make an entrance somewhere where there's not an entrance. We ought to make a way where there is no way. What I'm telling you is, stop saying that we'll never go to college in this house. Stop saying we'll always be poor in this house. Stop saying we'll never own our own business in this house. Not in this house. You gotta get up. Check out the structure and say, somewhere I can put a door. I just gotta find a place to put a door. She said, I'm gonna put a door in my little world. I'm gonna expand. Hello? Any more after you? My goodness! You don't know what's going to happen when you open a door. Young married couples, you want to put a door in the house of your brand new marriage. Middle-aged couples, you want to put a door on the wall in your house. Let the prophetic into your world. Guys didn't mess around. Man, when I said the musicians and how they're going to come, I got the whole band just like that. Normally they're taking their good old time, but boom, they just appeared out of nowhere. I'm standing for 5 minutes, do you? Okay. Well, you want to preach with me? This is your chance. God's telling somebody, Stop letting your world dictate to you. Stop letting the limitations surrounding you tell you this is as good as it's going to get. And when she put that door up on the wall, she put the room for the prophet. Now, we're not putting him in the basement. I think some people would like to put some of us men of God in a crawl space, but not her. She said, the highest place in my house is reserved for the man of God. Where's God in your world? Where is God in your home? Have you just bought into this stuff that God happens on Sunday and Wednesday and then we can do what we want? No! Put the Ark of the Covenant back in the center of Israel's camp. Let everything you do revolve around that. She walked in and said, this is now the prophet's quarters. We don't have to make it the suite at the Ritz-Carlton because he won't be here long. He'll just come in for the weekend and get a Culver's burger and he's out of here. He just basically needs a little table, chair, and bed. And so it was. The prophet said, according to the set time next year, everything changes in your world. You thought it was the end. It's the beginning. Because she put a room. But if you'll stand with me, I got to offer you the final caveat. I got to do this. But in 33 years of ministry and 31 years of traveling, I've seen prophetic utterances come to pass. And the gratitude lasted for a while. But then when we get the boy, we can't bake bread the way we used to for the prophet. We have responsibilities and obligations. Pretty soon we move from baking the bread to not doing it. And then sometimes we do some things that are really, really, really messed up. We kind of close off that space. Because I know people that put a door on the wall and a new world of revelation and power came in. And the business came, the child came, the marriage came. You know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden our world changes. You see, our priorities change and that's wasted space. So we not only close the door, sometimes we get that carpenter come back in and we say, take the jam out. Take the door off, take the hinges off, and cover it over, sheetrock it over. And Brother Roy, I'm telling you what, there are some homes that you can't even see the seam or the outline of where a door used to be. Because when they were brand new in church, Jesus was everything. And they couldn't do enough for him. But then all of a sudden prosperity came, and that's what's happened to America. That's what's happened to America. We've closed that door off. But before we give the appeal for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, church body, here's your word. Don't ever remove that space from your world. That's where the word of God came to you. That's where the promise originated. And I'm not going to go negative here after such a great service, but life happens. And you may think you don't need God as much now because you've got so much more money than you had 5 years ago, and you've got the boy, and you're completely happy now, and you've got everything God promised, and you're just happy as you can be. But you're going to need God now as much as you ever had, because don't you ever look at your Isaac and go, oh, look at that. Thank you, God. Because that's the source of my blessing. And God's going to say, what?
That's not the source. I didn't swear to you or Sarah. I can swear by none greater than myself. My commitment and covenant is with me, and I can do it with her. Kill him. And if you're in here today and you're not where you need to be, you know what you need. If you're tepid, lukewarm, you're not on fire, you know what needs to happen. You don't know what's coming out of that field. You don't know what's going to be carried home to your house. That's the reason why I'm going to keep that door in place and I'm going to keep it open. Because when it comes calling at my house, I'm going to do what Mama did. Take him in there. That's where he came from. So today, I'm giving an appeal right now. And because of time, I cannot go any further because we're going to pray people through the Holy Ghost as God directs us. But right now, every one of you that heard this message, and you're going to stop from this day forward letting situations and circumstances in a very limited world dictate your future. And you're going to put a doorway for God to come in and speak. I want you to leave where you're standing right now. If the enemy has lied to you and say and told you that this is as good as it's going to get, come on down here. We're gonna put a door in the wall. But if you're also here and you need a resurrection, you've had something happen in your life and you have to have a place to go back to, get down here right now. Right now, right now. Go ahead and lift him up as they keep coming. Keep on coming. Lord, I'm gonna sing.